The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Is your hard-earned money shrinking fast, need some help? Call my friends at Lear Capital to learn about owning gold and silver, the ultimate protection hedge against inflation and market volatility. And experts are predicting metals are set to soar. Learn more. Call 800-430-2919.
This is the Seculo Brothers Podcast. We want truth, no more lies, no more lies. We speak how we feel, no more compromise. Take away our freedom, huh? Now, this is America, land of the brave and a home of the free, and a country full of people feel just like me. Land of the brave and a home of the free, and a country full of people feel just like me.
Welcome to the Seculo Brothers Podcast. This is Logan Seculo.
This is Jordan Seculo.
There we go. All right.
A lot going on. There's a lot going on.
There's a lot.
My phone. I would say, you know, it's a big question mark because what is Trump doing tonight? A lot of people, like our friend Rick Rinella, say you got to tune in tonight.
Yeah, let's back it up. This wasn't going to be our lead topic, but right before,
how could it not be?
We went on the air, but we started recording. There was a tweet that went out.
There was a lot of pre-stuff, so I will tell people. There were a lot of pre-things going on, even before we did our radio show today. But certainly there hadn't been people saying, like, again, and until someone does it, it hasn't been done. Usually there's some steps in between. So I think you might know before technically the rally starts tonight, because you probably have, like, a press statement that goes out.
Yeah.
But he doesn't follow normal. That'd be like, if I was planning a normal person's announcement to run for president – it probably wouldn't be the day before midterms. It probably wouldn't have as many people as he's going to have there tonight, 30-plus thousand, you know, in Ohio. He's really popular in Ohio. We know that he's there because, you know, the do no harm to some extent, it's not Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between, like, being in suburban Philly, if you're Donald Trump, the day before the election, and Ohio. And we know also that the media really doesn't cover his rallies.
Yeah.
Like, mainstream. So if they think this is the announcement, which it might be, and we have, you know, people who are very close to President Trump now putting it on Twitter,
yeah,
saying, you better tune in tonight, ... Like, and of course, some of that might be, hey,
try to get some ratings.
We want you to tune in.
Yeah, try to get a pop. But I think a lot
but
of discussions happening.
Rick is actually in Arizona.
A lot of discussions happening, but a lot also has happened over the last week when you really looked at it, and you started to sort of tease it out more and more. I mean, in some ways, this is the worst kept secret in the history of politics, which is, I believe people were talking about, you know, President Trump running again pretty much immediately after Joe Biden was sworn in. I feel like they already started talking. There was already Trump 2024 merch starting to show up. We talked about last week, he did one campaign event, a rally, where people had Farmers for Trump signage. And that kind of signage really only leads you to if you are running potentially for president. So, again, I think that we'll know a lot more in a few hours. I do think it'd be pretty darn interesting if that is the case. There are people who are reporting it. And even the Daily Caller, as of right now, have said, right now it's what they're calling a coin flip, whether he announces tonight. No final decision has been made on the possible announcement. I think that's probably right. I think for anything in politics, Jordan, you probably could speak into this as people who've worked on the inside, a lot of these decisions are made and then flipped and then flipped back. And that's what
you make them, you plan, you have a date, you have a moment. You also, again, like I said, most people, it's got to be a lot more planned because you can't like travel around the country and get 20,000, 30,000 people just show up at your event. I mean, people are already in line at his rally. I saw the preview, like, there's so many people just selling stuff. Now, he's caused some controversy in the past 24 hours. I don't want to harp on Republican versus Republican the day before.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about that later on this week. We'll know a lot more.
It makes sense. It would not surprise me that if you watch tonight Donald Trump, that he's announcing to run for president. One, a lot of these are his candidates. This is a very Trump gamble move. You got to have a lot of guts to go all in the day before people.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone expected tomorrow.
These are all his candidates.
Yeah.
Remember, a lot of people said that this candidate can't win. This candidate should win. Mitch McConnell complained about the kind of candidates we had, especially when we're talking about the U.S. Senate. If Oz wins, that's huge for Trump. What if he doesn't? What if J.D. Vance doesn't pull it out? Like, then you've announced and you still own it. So, but I think it's very Trump to say, let's go all in with a little bit of a gamble.
Yeah, and Trump will speak tonight at the 8 p.m. Is it 8 p.m. Eastern? 8 p.m.
So
Eastern.
So pretty early.
At the rally. Enough time to make a difference. Now, I do think, yeah, a lot of people assumed any time after tomorrow was
fair game.
That
it was going to happen, yeah.
That it was going to happen. That's what I said. This is the worst kept secret in politics. He's pretty much said it without
said
formally
it with the signs.
Saying it.
He's already got signs behind him saying something for Trump. Farmers for Trump.
We talked about that, yeah.
So they're already printing out
the promotional materials.
The promo materials are out. The website's probably going to launch with he has great video people like Scavino. He's already kind of been doing some of that this weekend. They had it was the ACDC and
flying.
It was amazing looking.
Yeah.
Like the visual was amazing. He was in a downpour in Florida.
Yeah.
He doesn't shy away from it at all. He stays in a full suit. He looks good right now. I think he looks in fighting shape and it'll be very, listen, we know what the other side's going to say. They're going to try to use this to try and convince people at the last minute not to vote Republican.
And that is a bit concerning. Like, I don't know if I love the idea of him jumping in today or potentially even tomorrow.
Oh, if you were these other campaigns? Yeah.
I think I would have much rather waited till I won and then said, okay, feel free to take all the credit you want. I don't care at this point.
Unfortunately, if he announces, that will be the headline of the morning.
Yeah, I'll take
the
win.
Make sure people go vote. Now, no one's doing the whole, don't vote. I know people sometimes in the chat say, is my vote going to get counted? But saying, no one is mass running off that right now. No, he even said,
go vote for DeSantis, wrote in Florida. I know that was, a lot of people were debating what was going on in Florida. He said, go vote. That was yesterday. That happened. But look, as you said, you could be listening to this 6 hours from now, and we'd be wrong.
Yeah, we could be.
He did
because
announce.
He could have also
now, I did say that with the Georgia-UT game, which was, feel free to embarrass me once our episode had run and people had already listened, but guess what? We were right. And not only were we right, I was right. So we can now...
It was a stopping. It was Tennessee, they should be embarrassed.
It was a beautiful moment. I was so thrilled. I had so many text messages.
And then Alabama lost again, which made their win over Alabama look a little bit less impressive.
I had so many, because we live here in Tennessee. And
everybody stop talking.
Everyone knows I'm a Georgia fan. So everyone who became the bandwagon fans, and then some that were legit fans that always been with them.
Yep.
My texts were blowing up with, I don't want to say threatening texts, but they were a pretty intense text, a lot of smack talk. And boom, here we are. The Georgia Bulldogs definitively defeat the University of Tennessee. And look, I've been going for Tennessee all year, and I probably wouldn't have if I were going to lose, I would like to have lost Tennessee, but not after all the smack talk, and not after that fake number one. But guess what? We're number one. Doesn't matter. But as Will kind of pointed out, it could have just been a curse of Stacey Abrams.
Yeah, she wore Tennessee Orange on TV.
On Saturday morning on MSNBC, she was there wearing that.
That's when she was upset that too many black men were voting.
I did hear that. Yeah. I did hear that.
Isn't that insane?
Not that they were voting.
Yes.
She thought no.
They're
that's
voting
not the
in
right.
Large numbers, and they're being misled.
They're being misled, I think is
no,
what
she
said.
About the number.
Okay, I think we have the clip. Should we play it for a second?
See if I said it right.
And I do not believe it's because of a deep well of enthusiasm for my opponent. We know that black voters are often discounted. And unfortunately, this year, black men have been a very targeted population for misinformation, not misinformation about what they want, but about why they want what they deserve. And my campaign has been the only one that has very intentionally, thoughtfully, and consistently reached out. That has been misconstrued as concern when it indeed is just respect.
I mean, a lot of words.
Word
there.
Salad.
A lot of words. But she wore Tennessee orange. You know who wouldn't have done that? Brian Kemp, who I heard, maybe one of my favorite interviews with him. Yeah, he was on
with
my favorite. Yeah, one of my favorite interviews he did was on the Saturdays in Athens podcast, Georgia Bulldogs podcast.
He does
I
stuff.
Listen to. Oh, he grew up with the whole Dooley family. He would it sounds like from according to that interview, he was like an adopted son of Vince Dooley. So I know he knows better than to
Dooley supports Herschel. Dooley did endorse Herschel, and then Dooley the field, and then the win, and the victory. There was a lot going on.
Did Dooley
there.
Get an early vote in? We don't know.
That's part of early voting.
Is that's it? I haven't thought about that. How does that work?
Well, that's how it works. It's a vote.
That's a discussion people, I'm sure, will love in the comments.
Don't.
Which is, if you early vote and you pass away,
yeah.
Does it count?
Yeah.
It does? Okay. I'm just asking.
There's just no way for the system to...
to be able to track it. Like,
no, that's not... not yet. I mean, listen, we're going to get to a point one day where likely the system can want to figure out exactly how we handle that.
I mean, you should... I mean, honestly, with time, with the way technology is, you should be there. But election rules and the way election voting happens, it's so behind the technological times. What?
What if you pass away and then you early vote? Well, then that's probably a little fraud.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's what happens.
But what's weird is that she's, California. She's yeah. She is complaining about the turnout number. She last week it was like, you know, there's unbelievable black turnout in Georgia, but it's still voter suppression. Now they moved on. It's not voter suppression now. Now
misinformation.
It's misinformation. I don't even know. What is it? What misinformation are you talking about? Herschel Walker on the issues is pretty darn clear the difference between him. Stacey Abrams on the issues versus Kemp. It's like pretty clear. They, you know what I mean? On everything. They are these are polar opposite kind of candidates. Hard left, Stacey Abrams and Warnock. Pretty hard right, Kemp and Herschel. So I don't think people are being misled. I think she just, the fact is that more black voters are less inclined to just vote party line. Should be a good thing for democracy, but it's a bad thing for big D Democrats.
Well, even that's happening in Los Angeles. You know, the mayorship for L.A. is up, and the guy who is potentially in the lead was a Republican like the day before he announced, and he's essentially creating he's a Democrat now, but it has gotten sort of some support from even some of the celebrities, like Chris Pratt, and those people who never talk about politics are now talking about it because they see their cities in decline. They're seeing what's happening under super leftist agendas. So they really are coming out against, you know, that kind of running against Karen Bass. Yeah. And that happened just yesterday. You're seeing people who are never into politics.
Yeah. I mean, is it going to affect it with the 24 hours? We'll see. I mean, we'll see. I think, again, just make sure.
I don't know if Trump running helps that. You know what I mean? Like
these little, like that little
start to activate people who were not so activated. It's a referendum.
I don't know. With the Roe versus Wade being overturned, I think maybe the group that's activated is probably activated.
That may be true.
It's whether or not any Republicans are put off, I think, more than Democrats.
What do you mean?
Like, because of what he said about DeSantis or the back and forth or whatever he says tonight. Listen, if he's announcing, he's going to be saying it some tough stuff. Mm-hmm. Think about Donald Trump. He pulls no punches, and he's going to try and take out any of his perceived enemies before.
Look, I'll certainly be watching.
And if he jumps tonight, I mean, he's trying to take them out before they have a chance to even start walking.
I was not planning on watching the random Trump rally tonight. That was not on my to-do list for the evening.
He's probably going to track exactly like how the last three.
Yeah, they're visually just cool. Stump speeches and they're cool. But now I have to watch because I got to be there if it happens. And if it doesn't happen, a little disappointed.
Do I run and put the sign in my yard immediately? See, that's the thing because it's so long.
Just put like giant American flags out of the front. It pretty much means the same thing.
It does. I'm just going to start shooting off fireworks from my front yard right when he announces.
Yeah.
And take out all the guns just walk my yard, you know?
As I showed you last night, we talked about the gunshot sounds that are in my neighborhood.
Yeah, you showed me.
I got the alerts.
Did somebody hear that?
My next door app or whatever it was getting all of these.
Like, who's in the street firing off?
I told you. It happens.
And you said it's just car backfiring.
I don't know. I think it's gunshots.
That's what I said. I said it's probably just car backfiring.
That was pretty late at night to have. It's always late night.
Well, now...
when the grandmas figure out how to use the Nextdoor app, it's all done.
Like, we're going to talk about this because we're old people. We live in the Central Time Zone, but right on the edge of the Central Time
Barely.
Zone.
Barely.
So here, at 4:45 in the evening, it
Sunset.
Was
done.
Pitch black dark. It was the most depressing, like, hour. I was like, I think I mourned for a little bit. I took a nap. I woke back up.
It was still dark.
Still dark. The kids still weren't asleep. I'm like, it should be bedtime. It should have been bedtime hours ago.
Yeah, I wonder.
It's actually why I'm thankful my kids have all these extra activities after school, because it's like fake simulated light in a lot of these places. Like if you go to like a gymnastics gym, it's like bright lights. So there is that bit of feeling like it's still daylight for an hour. But we need to talk about our friends here real quick before we move on to the next topic.
Which friends?
Lear Capital. Check out Lear Capital. We know everything is insane right now. Trust me. Everything is insane right now.
It's day before election.
It's day before election. You know.
Then it's election day. Then it's the counting. And listen,
this is good. Is this like your Christmas Eve? More stress.
I'm not as stressed because we're only gaining this midterm. But I do think where I get nervous is I just want people to show up and vote. I think if people show up and vote, we win. Just don't believe all those hypes and those conspiracy theories.
Like, yeah, and don't fall into the fact that inflation and the money, a lot of people are running on that. I'm seeing right now saying, That's it's not going to matter. If we flip, if Republicans are running it, it's not like all of a sudden.
Oh, it matters.
It totally matters. But right now, the cost of everything is insane, and we're going to be in this probably for a while. Hopefully not as long as, hopefully tomorrow things start to correct themselves. But if you're thinking about how it's going to impact your savings or retirement, you should check out our friends at Lear Capital. If you want to learn more, call Lear Capital today for your free precious metal investor guide. And also learn more about the Lear Advantage IRA that lets you transfer or roll over your old 401k. Plus, Lear's offering free shipping and up to $15,000 in bonus gold or silver with a qualified purchase. Here's the deal. Call for details. 800-430-2919. Remember Lear Capital, they're the most rated precious metal company on Consumer Affairs. With a near perfect rating on Trustpilot, call 800-430-2919. That's 800-430-2919. And as we say, Jordan, we always like supporting them because they are not afraid to support us in the issues that we care about.
No, it's they're not just a free speech, they're a conservative organization and a company, and they actually back what we believe in. So give them a call at 800-430-2919.
Yep, that's 800-430-2919. And there is a link in the description, but we encourage you to call because you can get a lot of answers.
No, sorry. I was going to ask you, who do you most want to go to Washington? Like, of these races, if one of them can win, is there one that you really like to win?
Oh, well,
Is this someone you would be happy that lost?
I like the idea that Herschel and Tommy Tuberville would both be serving in our capital. Like, that just to me, just take away their politics. It just, to me, is such
Kirby next.
What?
Kirby next.
Kirby for president. Saban be too
Saban's
liberal.
Saban's a Democrat.
I know.
I think.
He tends to, he doesn't say it, but you can tell.
He seems like a liberal.
Yeah. Just angry.
Just seems like a liberal.
I don't know Kirby either.
I don't know about that politics. Kirby, I feel like.
Yeah, I was very impressed by, was Auburn's interim coach, Cadillac Williams. Who
I didn't
was
watch from, that game closely.
They lost, but he did a press conference after. And Cadillac, if you don't know, he was part of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers during their kind of heyday time.
He was Rookie of the Year
his
first year.
And I was a fan then. I didn't know what he was doing, but apparently he was assistant coach at Auburn, one of the assistant coaches.
Running backs coach, yep.
He had to hop in and become the new interim head coach and had a great press conference after the game and mainly talked about the team was very excited. He was pumped on the sidelines and talked about how he led 8 members of the team to the Lord the night before. So it was a win-win. If they lose, it's okay. So it was pretty cool to hear that. And, you know, you got to give it up for those kind of things. But, yeah, I would say
Herschel
just purely for
fanboydom.
Yeah. I'm excited for Katie Britt in Alabama. I think that she's a good face for Alabama.
She's going.
She's going. I don't even know if she's running. Like, I think she.
Well, there's those kind of races tonight that.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah. I wish there were more of those like that.
Yeah, where it was just a shoe-in guarantee.
That's why I feel like you asked me if it's like Christmas Eve. The thing is, like, a Christmas Eve, you know what's going to happen on Christmas Day. I do think. I just want people. Listen, I think we should be able to count the votes in 24, you know, less than 24.
No, they're not going to.
Let's be honest. We know that Arizona, and we know if they're close.
Yeah, I tweeted last night.
And, like, especially with Herschel, he's got to get to 50 plus one, or else it doesn't matter if he won by 6, 5, 4. If he didn't get to 50 plus one, there's going to be a runoff.
Yeah, I tweeted last night a little bit with Walter Kern, who hosts America This Week. He wrote Up in the Air, and he posted a thing. And
you like the guy who traveled around?
Yeah, he was that guy. Well, I mean, I don't know if he was that guy. He wrote the story. He put up a tweet. We went back and forth a little and trying to find the exact. He tweets a lot. But he essentially said the same thing, which is why even have an election night party or a when you know that it's going to be days and days. I'll find the exact wording. But it was.
I have a new audio from Karine Jean-Pierre that's saying the same thing if you want to hear it.
Yeah, he said the risk in attending an election watching party is now that you'll be eating wings and drinking punch in front of the TV for a solid 6 weeks. Yeah, so I liked that from him.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, we have a clip from KJP.
Yeah, I can play it.
We should know about the house.
People say KJP, or do I just say that?
I say it.
People say KJP because you know
it's easier
it's
for
a little
us.
Too fancy.
Yeah, she didn't name herself. I don't think
Jean Pierre is cool. Fancy.
I always think of George St. Pierre, which is MMA fighter, UFC. George St. Pierre. Never mind. All right. Don't you know Elon's Twitter? Things are delayed.
About Carrie Lake. I'll stay up to hopefully see some of those numbers to see if they can call. Like, if we could get a feeling of Arizona, Nevada, even if I don't know exactly, but if I could get
Carrie Lake's hat, which Rick Grinnell was wearing yesterday, I texted him. I was like, hook me up with this hat. I feel like it's
because they call it Carizona.
Carizona. Yeah. But it's the Arizona Iced Tea logo. And it says Carizona. It is so cool. I regret not having it before election day. I don't even know much about Carrie Lake, but I do know I like that hat.
Well, she's a pretty awesome candidate.
Yeah.
Is she? Very dynamic. Former television news.
Mm-hmm. No, she's so obviously really slick. Slick, yeah.
Handles the media, like she handles the media criticism like pro, and that's awesome. I like to see again more women in the party rising up. Who are these are not young, like she, you know, she's gonna be governor, mm-hmm. but you can already see like long term.
Yeah, who are you most excited about? Is anybody Carrie Lake? You said, but
other than other? Hurst, I take out Hurst for football. We really can't yeah. all say that. To me, it would be if we get Oz and Fetterman, Oz and Vance,
yeah.
But the closest race, I think, tonight is going to be Oz and Fetterman.
I think so.
On the East Coast, at least.
If I'm being...
May change on the... By the time you get up to Nevada, that stuff may tighten up. But I think on the East Coast, like, that one is going to be...
If I'm being 100% honest, that one concerns me the most.
It's always uphill.
Oz and Fetterman. It's Pennsylvania's uphill. And look, as much as the debate was a disaster... It didn't affect the polls from what we've seen.
No, but he said weird stuff this weekend. He's like doubled down on going out and said all the flags.
All the flags fall down like on cue. Oh, it's such a great moment.
Like, it's like everything is against him. So, but again, it's a state where...
I still think there's a darn good chance he wins.
There's underdogs that are pretty popular.
Yeah.
They just lost the World Series. Maybe the people... Now, maybe that will depress the Democrat Philadelphia vote.
Can we play this clip now? All right, here's KJP.
Where are we back to?
It took 2 weeks to call every state. In modern elections, more and more ballots are being cast in early voting and also by mail. And many states don't start counting those ballots until after the polls close on November 8th. So you heard the president say this the other night. He has been very clear on this as well. We may not know all the winners of elections for a few days. It takes time to count all legitimate ballots in a legal and orderly manner. That's how this is supposed to work, and it's important.
Yeah, clearly there's one word in there that was very intentional.
Just one.
Legitimate. Legitimate. What does
Who
that
defines
mean?
That? They don't ever think that when we challenge ballots, like because they have no signatures or no date, we're oppressors. Yeah. We're like
no
racist.
No ID, no signature, no date.
But count that.
But
so
count it.
Legitimate ballot. This is, I think one is they're preparing to get for big losses. Okay. So they're going to try to find wins in anything. Like a Fetterman, if he somehow pulled that out, they will make a big deal about that and try to say, oh, see, look, I mean, early in the night. Also, if you're out west, don't get out of line because of what you're hearing about polls on the East Coast. Just, we do know this. She's the one thing she's right about is they don't start a lot of these states counting the early vote until the polls close. But here's what she misleads you about. Most of that first tabulation is done via computer.
Digital, yeah.
So it should not take more than 2 seconds.
Yeah. The only reason that it would be for recounting or secondary.
There's only shenanigans when it doesn't mean there's widespread, but you watch those big urban areas like Philly, especially. And they always have problems.
Something breaks,
right? Remember, it's not they're not trying to hand count every early ballot before.
Wasn't there
and
something
what's a legitimate that- vote, Jean-Pierre? Because every time we go to court to challenge bad ballots, they're on the other side saying they need to be counted.
Wasn't there something in Pennsylvania that potentially like 3,000 or 4,000 ballots maybe
yeah, they sent them out,
invalid?
That people didn't that the signatures were wrong, or
I don't know the details of that.
They set them aside.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're already starting that conversation.
We did one of those cases in 2020. They set them aside, and then if that number was going to be determinative of anything, they then will go to court to decide if they're going to count them. So that happens a lot in election law. When they set aside ballots, it's not to say we'll never count them. But then they'll look at the overall result. If somebody's up by 25,000, we set aside 5,000 ballots, then we don't need to have a constitutional battle over them. But if it comes down to it, then you would have another court battle over – now they've been set aside, should they be counted or not?
It's a mess.
You would think it'd be easier with all the tech.
Yeah. Well, I kind of said this. I think that the early voting and vote by the mail, as sketchy as it is, if real tech, biometric tech, and those kind of things were being utilized with this in conjunction.
Well, if we put the Elon Musk chip in our head.
Look, I think there are ways to vote. You could vote online that are safer than the voting by mail.
By mail?
Yes.
You're not talking about like early voting.
No.
There's a difference.
No, I like the early voting.
It's the same.
It's the same.
Yep.
No, early voting is the same. I'm saying that when you talk about the voting by mail, you talk about that.
Yeah,
I think there's actually already verifiable ways to do that that are a lot better than the just, here's the ballot, we're sending it to everyone type deal, which you know they love. And it wouldn't be that hard to implement it.
No, I'm just worried that we don't have enough
security.
The servers are owned by private companies, and that freaks me out.
Yeah.
It's either Amazon or Google.
So it's either you're going to go to owned by a private company, or you're going to go to someone who is 200 years old.
Or maybe the U.S. government can have its own, you know.
Here I like, actually, in the county we live in, is you do a digital, but then it prints out a physical, and you scan it back in.
So there
is a paper backup if necessary.
Recounts or any kind of problems happen with a glitch.
Mm-hmm.
Glitches happen. You're dealing with computers. I'm not this is not a presidential year. I'm not expecting the same kind of...
I mean, there shouldn't be that kind of turnout.
But, you know, if... Just go vote. The first step is, we can fight all these battles out, like we said, but you got to vote first. If there's nothing to battle over, like a lot of what happened in 2020, honestly, was that people were like, what about this state? What about this state? There weren't even enough states at issue to change the outcome. I know people are going to freak out in the chat when I say this, but the truth is, because you weren't challenging every vote in the state. You were going to a county and saying there were a few thousand here that weren't dated right. Okay, that wasn't going to change the outcome, though. And you'd have to find that in
over
places
and over
that would
again.
Take you longer than it would be to. So, again, you go vote. We have massive turnout. You don't have to worry about these.
And I haven't voted. I'm going to vote tomorrow. If the podcast is delayed, it's because I'm still in line. I tried to early vote 3 times, and the lines were just absurd.
Yeah, I think towards the end of early voting, it actually could be worse.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I think this is actually a bad idea. I'll go vote in my specific polling place. No, I think we can vote anywhere still here in the state of Tennessee.
On ED?
On election
day?
That's not what... The people don't... That's not what they...
So you tell us that like my Christmas. I mean, I'm like a totally different person.
Yeah, because like that's not what most people think of when you say that. People hear they think we're in a different kind of ad.
When people put ED down, I look at election day.
Who's putting that down?
No, we're getting a text right now. What would you think? It's election day.
No, I wouldn't. I would not.
Who's randomly texting you about the other ED?
Well, I think
like
it's a
random text on it.
I think it's a good time to talk about our friends at Centurion. I don't know what they offer. But who knows? Centurion Labs is available for you. If you're looking to strengthen your immune system, go to centurionlabs.com and slash bros. Do that and take a look at them. Look, the weather, cold weather is going up and down. I'll be honest. The opening of this copy is cold weather is here. Not in the state of Tennessee.
No, that's
cold
like
weather. Now it's like 80 degrees again.
It's not good
but
for
because
your
of that,
system.
My face is already just in
I'm
a
hot,
wreck.
Cold a lot.
There's cold, there's the flu, there's everything that's running rampant right now. Your immune system needs protection. And I really do like our friends at Centurion Labs. They are looking for safe, effective, affordable ways to keep you healthy and at your best. If you have trouble sleeping, they have Defender PM. If you're looking to strengthen the immune system, they have the Defender Immunity Boost. They even have cough suppressants with Ninja Cough. There's a lot of options, a lot of products, and they're made right here in the USA. So go take a look at their website. Go to centurionlabs.com/bros. When you do that, you'll see a big picture of Jordan and I, our podcast art. That lets them know that you're in the right spot. But you also have to use the promo code bros when you check out. And for a limited time, listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their first bottle order when you visit centurionlabs.com/bros. Use the promo code bros. That's centurionlabs.com/bros. Promo code bros. I used my immunity defender yesterday, always, because, again, the kids are coming home. They are going to things like gymnastics and all these places where they are exposed to so much, and we all are. So at least can give you a good shot at staying healthy. That is, again, centurionlabs.com/bros. I really like their products, and I'm happy they support it right here in the USA. So, guys out of Alabama. So maybe they don't, hopefully they don't mind our Saban talk. We'll see.
You know.
All right.
Saban has failed Alabama this year.
You know, Saban does this. Every handful of years, there's a bad year. And by bad year, two close losses. And then he'll come back.
Oh, yeah.
Does he have a contract like the end of time?
His contract goes through 2030 right now.
So, yeah, 8 years. And he's like 75. He's older than you think, right? And he's fairly old.
Yeah, I think he's 72. His birthday is October 31st.
That's right. So we'll take him almost past his 80th or like right around 80.
Just turned 71.
So he'll be 79. So it's like, you know, President Biden.
Yeah.
More with it. He'll be more with it still.
This is interesting because
what
we talk about the lines a lot. We'll put in the chat that
the lines.
There's a Harvard study about when they show generic B-roll.
What are we talking about?
In local news of the lines.
I thought we were talking about gambling lines. Because you were talking about sports.
I don't think the money lines are out for this weekend yet.
I lost. Never mind.
I did well. Why'd you lose?
My parlay did not. They didn't have enough points.
Oh. So. Yeah, I knew it was not going to probably be it. If Georgia was winning, it was probably not going to be a high score.
The problem is if you bet on Georgia, it was like the return was like a dollar. It was like, put in $50.
Yeah, I actually $51. I made money off other games yesterday.
Yeah.
Or Saturday.
Parlay, owned by Kanye West. Moving on.
We could talk about that in a minute.
We can. If you'd like,
all the
but what are you talking about? Tell me about these lines. Tell me about these lines. Not talking.
No, so like the B-roll that they use, like local news. Mm-hmm. If they show long lines, it like discourages people from going, and it's just B-roll a lot of times.
Oh, that's interesting.
So because you know your local news does not usually have like 30 reporters out. Like they rely a lot. Like a lot of them are
in stock footage, yeah.
And so they might be showing like election day from 2 years ago.
So
just likely at your polling station, it's not.
So should we make that illegal?
There's a lot of push polling problems.
No, I meant with the they can't show the B-roll.
I don't know.
No. I think it'd be that much
be
of a
smart
percentage.
Enough to vote.
Yeah.
Go vote. The
get yourself a chicken biscuit and get in line.
Will the where will the anti-Semite vote go?
It depends on the state.
it's dividing up.
Depends on the district.
You know,
look, anti-Semitism is no longer.
It's a lot. Again, I take the view of like, please, can we not talk about it? I'd rather not be talking about Jews. Just in general.
Okay, let's not clip that out of context.
No, I mean, like, I don't want to talk about, like...
That's worse than the election day coverage.
I don't want to talk about people like that. I don't want to have to break down groups.
You don't want to talk about race. Yes, I actually said this...
You know, if it was election day and Jews were a big enough voting bloc...
I said this to my friend.
But it's not like African-American vote. It's like the black vote. The Jewish vote's too small.
Yeah. I said this to my friend who sent me something about the Kyrie Irving situation and sent me to me as sort of a pun. I said, you know what?
He was another person who was put on a pedestal by the right for refusing the vax.
I would really like to, and I told them this, I would like the race conversation in the terms of politics like this to just be over. I don't like the race baiting from the conservatives. I don't like it from the liberals. I think that and it's totally happening. That's the part that drives me crazy. And don't fall
in real
for
time.
It. And don't fall for it. Because I see it all the time from both sides. They both are pulling the same exact... It's the exact same playbook.
I just don't know who they play to. Because, again, like I said, it's just...
It's a very fringe group, I feel like.
So with a Jewish background, again, when I say... I'm not even, like, dumping on Kyrie Irving. I don't think that those guys, again, a lot of times shouldn't be in this place. You know, he did decide to become this, like, activist...
Yeah.
So by taking the big vax stand, he kind of became an activist and put his money where his mouth was. Okay, so he didn't get paid for all those games. Yeah. He lost millions of dollars. But then, like, he endorses this old documentary, but he tweets it out, which is no good.
Yeah, and something with Alex Jones also. So he kind of doubled down on a few things that people find controversial.
And then wouldn't apologize.
Eventually he did.
Then it did. Suspended a little.
And then the Nets released here's a 6-part plan.
But then Candace Owens is saying that this is a conspiracy against black people. To take black... what she was saying it was like another kind of... Was it slavery? It was... But we're taking the money.
I'd have to look at the exact terms.
I don't like... I think Candace Owens is way over her skis on this. And she's been playing with race her whole career. And this kind of shows, again, it's end of the day... It's like you said, our whole goal is to get post-racial.
Yeah, and I feel like it still goes back to
that was Martin Luther King's goal.
And there was
post-racial, hyper-racial, post-racial.
And you have, like you said, this sort of feedback of at the Daily Wire even, you have Ben Shapiro coming out.
Attacked.
Coming out saying Candace shouldn't be. She was retweeting some very controversial figures, even those that are Jewish, but
he's not. He's like a quarter Jewish. Max Blumenthal, his dad's half, and Sidney Blumenthal is his dad, so he comes from elite family of Clinton family. He's a psychopath.
That's mainly, I think, the problem.
He used to follow us around and stuff. It used to be at like events where dad was. He did like Christian Zionist. He didn't like us because dad was a convert.
So I'll just read it to you real quick. I don't mind this. Look, and we have friends.
She had no business someone with the check mark, like we said, go look it up before you send out to 3 million people. Yeah. It's about anti. It's about race. Like, if I was going to tweet something that had anything to do about black people, and I was going to retweet someone who was, let's say, I thought they were black.
Yeah, because he identifies himself.
Because I guarantee you she thinks she looked at Blumenthal and said...
Well, he identifies it. He says, we white American Jews. He refers to himself at the very beginning.
He worked for, like, the Lebanese paper to bash...
But he worked for state media of Russia. He worked for Press TV in Iran.
No one's pointing out he's RT and Sputnik, by the way. He works for the Russian state media, Logan. Yeah. This is when the Russians are doing it on purpose, guys.
Yeah. Well, he put...
Don't buy in.
He put something like, we're living in a golden age of affluence and safety, power, affluence and safety, and acceptance of this.
That worked out good for Jews in Germany, by the way. Because that's what they were.
But really, it goes after Zionists, which is is the part that's really the most concerning. Acceptance of the welcome reality threatens the entire Zionist enterprise. And that is like straight up. There's not really much more traditional anti-Semitic jargon than that.
Oh, like there's like Jews don't need help. They
from lobby fronts like the ADL to the State of Israel, because Zionism relies on the Jewish insecurity to justify themselves. Candace then retweeted.
I just want all of you who think you're supportive of hers. She retweeted an attack on the State of Israel.
She claims she put out an anti-Israel statement. This is what she retweeted. She retweeted it with a quote tweet and put, you're about to get in a lot of trouble for stating this. Reminds me of when I said similar things to the NAACP and BLM way back when. When you disrupt the trauma economy and call out not-for-profits that benefit, you become the next target. Now, then that was followed up with by Ben Shapiro, who is her colleague at the Daily Wire.
Not her boss, by the way.
Not her boss.
A lot of people got that wrong. I'll defend him for that. As much as you could say these guys kind of created this problem, he is not the, like, boss.
Look, I've been in the room with all of these people. They're here locally in Nashville. Everyone has been kind to me, so I'm not sitting here throwing stones at anyone, but we do need to at least talk about it. And he came back and said, I think the ADL is a partisan hack organization, too. Now, that's something we probably should discuss, because people don't even know what that is.
It's an anti-defamation league. I'd say half of what they do is good, half of what they do is liberal.
Yeah, it's a liberal Jewish group, but it's still
anti-defamation. Let me tell you the difference BLM. They don't riot, and they don't have any financial problems. Like, you know how, like, all that's been exposed? They are who they are.
Yeah,
they're out front about it. I don't know if they probably don't like some of the stuff we do and like some of the stuff we do. And so you can call them political. They're involved in the political process, and most of it's on the left. But again, they're not BLM. They're not fly by night. Also, it's just all these comparisons are not good. They're just not the same.
Right. So then Ben followed up with, he took a screen capture of Candace's tweet, did not retweet her. Took a screen capture and said, but retweeting Max Blumenthal, who spends his life covering for Jew haters and stumping for Israel's destruction, makes this conversation significantly worse. It's garbage. And actually, that gave me a little bit of hope of what was happening, because at least people within that sphere were saying that, were calling that out. Because it did make me nervous that the Daily Wire was just going to be a little silent on this conversation and just let sort of this anti-Semitism sort of boil. Then she came back, which, in her defense, it's interesting. She put... At Ben Shapiro, I don't know who Max Blumenthal is, but I do know that you have my number and could have informed me in earnest. Real relationship should trump Twitter theater. Let's set a better example going forward. So clearly,
who's creating the Twitter theater, though?
There's clearly some chaos happening. And look, even Jeremy Boring said that he's had the most disagreements with Candace he's had ever. If someone's going to do the hiring and firing, he's one of them. So where, again, Shapiro was one of the founders, but he's not. He's an emeritus at this point, really a talking head.
I'm all for, again, being unique, being controversial, but there's lines. There's also, when you start playing in those worlds, you better be educated about it.
Yeah.
She's way too high profile a figure to make that, to be retweeting Max Blumenthal and endorsing his statements.
Yeah.
And for that, it's not that anybody gets canceled or anything like that.
Not even
it's
endorsing
just,
a non.
Too many people are defending her. You don't understand. You're defending someone who wants Israel destroyed.
Yeah.
Max Blumenthal, I'm not saying she 100% supports. I don't think she does.
No. But he kind of. I mean, by going after Zionism.
Yeah. Has
that
she
is,
not?
That is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And you are going after an anti-Israel stance. You are going after, and which we always say, anti-Semitism or anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism, but that's just anti-Zionism. And truthfully, I can't imagine most of her audience are anti-Zionists.
No, but there is some anti-Semitism.
Yeah. There's a lot.
Now, what's interesting, there's also some racism.
Yeah.
A lot of her audience also says some things that she wouldn't love either.
I wondered if this is some sort of way to
is it race
reshape.
Baiting, is it what you say? Like, it's getting to the point of that.
Yeah, and
this
I think
like blatant race. We're only talking about this because of
Look, if we want to keep that conversation even broader, they were a move within the conservative circles maybe a month or two ago that was specifically aimed at even like, you know, white people were slaves too. And I hated that conversation because that's not part of American history.
It's not our history. It's world history.
World history, but it's not part of American history. And what we're really talking about is American history.
Yeah, or even modern.
Even modern. So I do, yeah, exactly. So I do have a problem when those kind of conversations just pop up out of nowhere and all of a sudden all of these media faces are all deciding that that's going to be the conversation they have. Because what that does to me is that plays into what the left has to say about
you. We don't win elections off this. We lose. I don't love you talking about, our podcast is not like the radio show. Like, I don't want to dissuade people from tomorrow. But if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably voting. Like, you're involved. And you can deal with a little of what's going on in our world. I think, again, this has gone way, this is past entertaining and just edgy. And
yeah, there's
look what's happened. I don't know. I don't know if I compare Kylie Irving to Kanye. One is a multi-billionaire.
I don't.
With these different things. And he's blaming like the contract thing, that Shaq, they're going after Shaq. Shaq's having to come out and defend his Jewish like agent in Canada because, and I think this was, she may have jumped on some of this too. Like, he's got 50% of, but then Shaq doesn't have to worry about any of his business stuff. The guy handles it for him. He's very happy, he said. Like, he's in a positive business, and he's like billionaire too. Yeah. And he's happy.
Who?
Shaq?
Yeah.
So, but he's had to come out and get involved in this conversation. So yeah, you're forcing statement. People who, again, and good for them, but he's having to like defend his agent who handles his licensing because the guy gets a cut. Well, yeah, he gets a cut. He handles all of his business. So the check doesn't have to worry about it. He gets a check.
Yeah. I don't know. The whole thing is really bizarre.
It's just weird. I definitely don't. O'Neal is in it. And, like, there's something. It's probably like a bigger discussion, too, that needs to happen inside their own community, like in the black community. Why is this such a big thing?
Anti-Semitism.
Why? Yeah.
Why is it all of a sudden popping up? And look, I don't think it's as all of a sudden as you may expect.
It's not. But why is it becoming public so often?
And becoming popular of major figures. For like, who is actually who got to Kanye? Who got to Kyrie?
I feel like Candace.
No,
politically with the White Lives Matter stuff.
Yes, but I mean for the Black Israelite stuff.
I don't know. Yeah,
like who is the leader of that? That got.
I've only been harassed by them on the street for being white.
I know. Just it does happen.
No, I don't know if people have dealt with the Black Israelites, because they're not everywhere, but in major cities. Sometimes a tourist area, like sometimes I'll be in Times Square shouting at people. But oftentimes it's not Nation of Islam. It's different. It's its own.
I mean, the idea is.
But it's, if you read their stuff that they put up, it's just wild. It's very anti-Islam.
It's also different than the black community who consider themselves a lost tribe of Israel, because that's a different thing too. Because that is people who are saying that, look, there is Judaism that is happening in areas of the world.
Ethiopia.
That is not shocking, but you would go, well, how did this even get here? And that's the conversation they're having. That, to me, is an interesting one because it's historic. It's been there for potentially thousands of years. What this is talking about is that the people that you know of as Jewish people in America or in the Middle East or throughout Poland and Russia and those areas were never the biblical Jews. The Jewish people. They were never the true Jewish people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the true Jewish people were this community that was essentially removed. And the black Israelites are those people. And the narrative was changed. That's the conversation. I'm not saying that I agree with that by any means. I'm just talking about what it is. But it becomes, like you said, almost Nation of Islam-like. Almost...
I don't think it's pro-American either. I think it's pretty anti-American.
I don't know a ton about that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I just... What I've dealt with on the street... Mm-hmm. Being harassed. And again, I'm not like, it wasn't like, this is common in like metro stations. This is all pre-COVID, but
yeah. So
yes, I would differ. They are not the same as the Jews who are immigrating to Israel from Africa.
No. These are people that think they're the only Jewish people.
And they practice Judaism.
Yeah.
Like in Ethiopia.
Traditional. Yeah.
They found people who are basically have been untouched, who practice a form of Judaism. And of course they did. If you believe in the Egyptian Empire, which is right there, and all these
Africa's
things.
Right there.
There's crossover.
Yeah,
and people also would take their religion, intermarry. I mean, of course, I don't think there's any question that there's black Jews.
Yeah,
and I don't know that Jews are questioning that.
It's the
Israel certainly does it. The state of Israel totally embraces black Judaism, and has historically the airlift. So Yeah, a lot of this is Western politics. This is American just problem issues. Like you were talking about, like, this is not like Israel is like it's caught up in these discussions. It's like why they're like the most tolerant country. They have the black Jews, and within inside there's Sephardic Jews, there's Ashkenazi Jews, there's people who don't even speak Hebrew yet.
Yeah, there are Christians and Arabs and everyone in Israel. Israel is
but there's all sorts of kind of Jews. And that's wonderful. And if you want to embrace Judaism, you can as well. Yeah. So if you want to convert to Judaism, you have no connection, family, whatever, you too can. It's just like any other religion. It's not like exclusive.
Well, I think hopefully that gives some understanding. I do think there is.
I don't know what people are going to say that.
I do think there's infighting within the conservative worlds, and I don't love that. I think that we've actually, I think Republicans and conservatives, I know we need to wrap up here in a minute, have been pretty good, unlike the Democrats, of not splintering as aggressively.
I still think this is a pretty, like, grassroots level, too. Like,
it is, but...
If you ask most people who are voting tomorrow, they would have no idea this controversy was happening.
No, but I do think it starts a conversation that I don't want to get snowballed. And I don't want it from the Trump camp either, if this is an announcement where, all of a sudden, a day before election, it looks like everyone is on different pages. Hopefully, there's some unified front. Hey, Rick Rinnell just tweeted out, it's a red wave alert. So, we'll see. We'll see. We're only a couple days away.
Listen, I think that, overall, we're going to be very happy with the election. I think if you're a Republican, you're going to be happy. I can't predict how many Senate seats we're going to have at this point. I think those races, I think that we
can't
don't
tell
poll.
You how many Senate seats we have.
Just 50. Period.
No, I meant total.
100,
I believe, right. It's a nice round number.
Yeah, you're kidding me. People are having meltdowns. And we're having meltdowns today.
I've seen the map. It's like 48, 52.
I mean,
well, we do have 54 states, according to the president.
Exactly. So who knows?
Hey, what do you do on the day before an election, partisan election? We dive right into racial politics.
Yeah. Is there like a, you know, you're supposed to eat collards and beans on election day, or no, on New Year's Day?
That's New Year's Day.
Is there an election day tradition?
Different candidates used to have their
own. Yeah, like Waffle House, that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, like
pizza.
Some would like go to
pizza?
A movie.
Italian?
Yeah, just order in.
Some would like, when the polls close, would like go see a movie. Because it's like, you got 2 hours to kill before you come out at your rally.
No, I could not focus.
Hey, most people now because of the data and the tech, I'm not involved in it tonight.
Just watching the Great British Bake Off, just waiting.
But there's so much data to take in that, like, by the time you find, like, you're tracking so many different points, it's pretty busy.
I'll be honest, I do, you know what I like, and I know this is going to
all we're
give
doing
me
today
some
is get out the vote, get out
this
the
is going to get me some hate.
Uh-oh.
I do like,
we haven't got enough today.
I do like the New York Times meter thing they do on election day. You know, where like it's like the favorable, unfavorable. It's like the laugh-o-meter or whatever
they
do.
Does it keep moving?
It keeps moving, yeah, all night. It moves.
Oh, you mean like till you hit the number, though? We don't have that.
No.
I guess they'll do that for the Senate,
they'll
the
do
House.
That for each one.
So they'll do that for like the Senate, the House.
They do it for each individual race of the top ones. They'll have the
laugh-o-meter?
The laugh-o-meter.
Or like where it's leading?
It's called something like that. Yeah, and it's like a probable.
It's like a predictomatic or something
like
that.
Predictomatic. I love it because it's like 0%.
How much you have to pay a year to get there?
It's free.
It's not paywalled?
No, I don't pay
not
for
yet it. New York Times.
I don't pay for anything.
When New York Times paywalls me, I just say, can we PDF that?
Oh, yeah. When they paywall me.
That's when I get a text from Jordan. Say, can you give me this article?
You know what? Yeah. You know what happens, truthfully? When any of those, I'm just going to tell you this. When any of y'all paywall me for...
You're done.
A major news publication. I go, well, you know what? No one else is going to read this, so why should I?
I feel the same way.
You know, it's like, it's not even news.
You got a catchy headline. Yeah, you got me to click on it. But if you're going to paywall it, then the eight of us who
so subscribe to our Patreon. Well, no, not yet. I do pay for some Substacks, but I feel like that's
I don't think my feet are going to get any likes.
Your feet? No. My feet are a mess.
But I don't know. Maybe there's a group for that.
Messy feet?
If there's for like calluses. I could. I could probably, you know.
Set the music. This is where we need to wrap up because I think, look, go out there, vote tomorrow. That's at least what we'll tell you. We'll at least end on that.
Yeah, make a plan. I always say that to people. And I'm not kidding. Drop now that I have three kids, I feel that even more seriously.
Oh, my plan is to drop the kids off at school and go straight to the polling place because then I'll probably still make it in time for radio, hopefully. 2.5 hours.
Where are any political statements that make you covered up?
I mean, I only have New World Order merchandise, so I don't know.
Some places in Tennessee might.
Today I'm wearing a Petra 50th anniversary shirt. We didn't get to talk about it. Petra celebrating their 50th anniversary. Went to the concert. Thanks to all those guys for hooking it up. It was a blast. If Petra's coming to your town, old school Christian rock, go see him. Have a blast there. Again, happy election eve. You know, tuck the kids in. Say a prayer.
Say a prayer for our country. That's a good point.
Yeah, and
it can get rocky. Listen, Donald Trump may be announcing for president tonight, as we're saying. It can get pretty rocky.
Oh, my kids.
In a fun
my
way,
kids
too.
Will be so.
Oh, my daughter still thinks like does not like that Joe Biden is president. She's angry at Joe Biden.
Yeah, I don't even talk about it that much.
I don't either.
My kids come back from school and they're like,
she loves Trump.
Biden, like it's funny. Yeah, you can tell we live in Tennessee when the kids come back with those conversations.
Yeah.
All right, we'll wrap it up. We will talk to you tomorrow.
They're like, let's go, Brandon.
Secular Brothers.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.